Before I give my introduction to this night's topic, I please urge you, you should ask your questions after I finish my introduction. And please, I appreciate very much that if you really voice your questions or your pains, your doubts, your bitterness, or not going along with certain things which I say, why not? You may probably even know what I'm going to answer. But I want to know you have a great chus this year, because this tapes goes very far away. Goes to England, goes to South Africa, met people all around the world which they happen to have somehow, some way this year. Because Baruch Hashem, this problem is all over and people need chuzik, and unfortunately, so far, I don't know too many other sources who give this type of a chizik. Everyone gives a different type of a bad job. So you really don't get insulted if you've been called Hashem's guinea pig. this information came out through you, and you have to suffer the consequences hearing me and growing with it and developing in it and coming out. It's a big schuss to you. So what I'm trying to say, if you have something still not sitting well with you, you're still being bothered and pained, and you bring it out, and you're going to answer to have it out, and this is recorded, of course your name will not be recorded who it is, and nobody will recognize you. So this I could just put down on the post when you ask the question, so your voice is not even on, I will repeat the question. But it's a big excuse, you should ask the question. Don't bury it, and don't ignore it, and shove it underneath the rug, as many people do. First, before I start my lecture, I'm going to give you some good news, and it may give you some good hopes. Maybe some of you heard it. It's a throat, there's a family Schlesinger. You heard it, it's famous, right? They got a twin after 30 years, right? After 30 years of marriage, they had a boy and a girl, right? Baruch Hashem. It shows that Hashem is still Hashem. Hashem could still do wonders. Right, Hashem.
Oh, this one had
another
30 years, I wanted to strangle them. Don't tell me
so. Okay, but, so what does Hashem throw such a candy here and a candy there? And there's many, we had many cases. I mean, many, 20, 25, 23 years, 22 years, we had many. I don't know exactly the details, but I know some cases, details, very interestingly, when people were at the edge of the rope, when people was giving up, total despair, they gave up, all of a sudden something happened. It happens. Hashem showed, not the doctors, not the, all this procedure. Hashem could do miracles.
The question is when.
It's really not a question. Because we really don't know if there is a when. We hope to have a when. And this, I would like to make an introduction. I would like to develop around this introduction. Bereishis Bore Elokim es Hashamayim es Ha'aretz. Because Baruch Hu created heaven and earth. Why does he have to tell me heaven? We're not speaking of heaven, the sky. The sky which you see is a part of the earth. It's a part of this planet. When you speak about Shamayim, means totally divinity, neshomo, spirituality, infinity, nitzchias. It's something which we haven't got any idea what Shemayim is. We know it exists. Just like the world is a combination of Shemayim and Earth, heaven and earth. And Shemayim, Shemayim and Hashem, heaven belongs to Hashem. We have no idea what it is. Well, Oretz no chalev ne'olam. On the earth has been given up. We master earth. So is the man a miniature world, his body and soul. Soul is Shemayim. So says the Zohar HaKodesh. HaShemayim are Isis Neshoma. HaShemayim are actually the Gematria of Neshoma. It's almost all the Isis of Neshoma, the letters of Neshoma, except in Neshoma it's a Nun, in HaShemayim it's a Yud Mem, which makes a Nun. A man is also Shemayim HaOretz. The soul and the body. And just like Shemayim HaOretz is totally a contradiction, but somehow they have a certain coexistence, certain harmony, so also soul and body is a total contradiction, with a certain coexistence, a certain harmony between soul and body. Now, who are we? Well, others know, so we are bodies. The soul we could only sense in our brain, in our sechel. That's what the Maharal says. The brain and the heart are two main organs which makes a man, which heart is the oretz, is the earth, that's the man. We are a piece of heart. Therefore, halachically, life is determined by the heart, not by the brain. A man could be, God forbid, brain dead, and still a living person with all halachics. But we also know that a heart without the brain is almost worthless, it's just living, it's a vegetable. And the neshama, which is in the brain, just like heaven and earth is a contradiction, so is, in a man, the feelings and the emotions, which is the man, which is in the heart, supposed to be in total contradiction, what the neshama, which is the seichel, which is the intellect, telling. Man is a conflict. Man lives in a conflict. Matter of fact, who is happy? A child, because his seichel is not developed, he's not thinking. Yosef Das, the more intelligence you have, means you're more tuned into your neshama. Yosef Machov, you have more pain. What is the pain? Conflict. You continuously have a conflict. And Hashem wants us to be in a conflict. Heaven and earth is a conflict. And the conclusion of the world, of the creation, as we learn in Bereshis, as the whole creation was finished in the end of the 6 days, the Yad Elohim Hashem saw as kol asher os, whatever he had done from A to Z, from beginning to end, from the earth till the man. Hine tois ma'oid. It's good and very good. Ve'erev ve'boinke, yamashishike, v'chilish ma'av shabeske. So Chazal, the Medrash tells many interesting things on the word tois ma'oid. Tois, ve'yitzah tois, ma'oid, ve'yitzah ra. Means, that's the two opposites, what could be. Tois, ze'gan Eden, ma'oid, ze'gehenam. Toiv ze chayim, life, moit ze moves, death. And together it becomes toiv moit. Only after when there is the opposite horizontal extremes or diametric extremes between toiv and moit. Now the Maharal has a very beautiful insight. The word moit is the letters of Adam. How is moit? How do you write moit? Mem? Aleph Dalet, Harad Adam, Aleph Dalet Mem. A fedreta mensch. A miscrewed man is Ma'oit. So when Hashem created Toit, created good, but in every good, Kol ma she'osa Kodesh Baruch Hu bo ilo moi zugo isosa. Everything which a Kodesh Baruch Hu created in the world is in pairs. Everything good has an opposite bad. Everything human emotional feelings, there's an opposite intellectual thinking. And we're supposed to connect them and harmonize them and deal with both of them. And that's the ultimate man. What does he, what do you accomplish in the world? You're not a puppet. No, any creation in this world does not do anything on their own. An animal is an animal. A donkey was born, a donkey was dying, a donkey, and you could figure out from the first minute of birth exactly how many footsteps statistically is going to step on this ground, how much is going to eat and how much is going to breathe. You could figure them out pretty well in a 5% variance up and down. You could figure out exactly his future. Man is totally, totally unpredictable. We can't predict ourselves. You never know what mood you're getting up tomorrow morning. Here you're high, here you come. You come to Shiv Dam, you go to Shiv, go Shiv very high. It's a human being. It could be a tzaddik, it could be a rosha. Why? Because we are put together for a combination of heaven and earth. A man is sula musav orto v'rosha megeh shaman. A man is a letter which is grounded in the ground on the earth, and his head is hitting heaven, the highest heaven. Yaakov Avinu was sleeping in the most miserable, lonesome, isolated situation, being chased by his own brother to be murdered. Single, destructive. He's chased away to Choran, to unknown future destiny. And he goes to sleep. And he dreams from his position of sleeping in the lowest, lowest, miserable, goalless situation. And Hashem showed him all the misery, all the goals, and all the pain of the entire Jewish history. That's what the Medrash says. He showed all the four Golosim. And to take it deeper, he showed them every individual's pinch, every individual's pain. Yaakov in a sense. Yaakov is the microcosm of the entire Jewish nation, entire Jewish history. And he was in his Golos, in his isolation, his feeling, his lonesomeness, abandoning, leaving his parents' home, and going to on future destiny, being chased, to be murdered, to be killed. He sensed every pain of every feeling for every individual. So you, first of all, be a mamina, believe that your personal pain, what you go through, was a part of Yaakov Savinu's experience. And he dreams and he sees a letter from him reaching heaven, and he sees his face, Chokuk b'kisa ha'kovet, is engraved in the kisa ha'kovet, in the highest heavenly thing which could be. And malachim, and the angels, malachim oilim v'yod, they go up and down. Why do you go up and down? They're all confused. They know Yaakov in the kisa ha'kovet, and you see Yaakov sleeping down there. So which is the real Yaakov? You see there, you see here, you see there, you see there. They go up and down. You see Yaakov in the most miserable, lonesome, loneliest, earthy position, the most lowest, godless position. And when they go up to see Yaakov in the highest position, that David can't even look up to, is the kisa ha'kovet. And they're confused. Malachim oilim v'yod, they go up and down, to make out. And what is the truth? It's the same one, Yaakov. That is a man. That's a Jew. A Jew is grounded in earth, in physical emotion, in pain, in normality as a human being. That's Oretz. He's the core of Oretz. He's the most sensitive Oretz. No Goy has the sensitivity of humanism as a Yiddish Amana. No Goy really has the sensitivity of feelings, what a normal, healthy, normal human being has to feel. The need of a child, wanting to have a child, to be Yiddish Amama. It's famous, a Yiddish Amama. There's no Goyish Amama. There's a Goyish Amama, just like they're biological mamas. But the warmness, the neediness, the nurturingness, the necessity of that. Rochel Amenus crying for a child, if not I'm dead, means to say I'm as emotional, as physical, as earthy as possible could be. I'm the most sensitive human being as human, Hashem produced the human being. There's nothing more sensitive and emotionally feeling the pain, the crunch of not having a child as a Yiddish mother. And the example of that is Rochel. You see, I'm dead. As a human being, I'm a dead person if you don't give me this child. That's one extreme, that we are the lowest, we're grounded in the depth of the earth. But at the same time, we connected to a heavenly being, we have a neshama, and we call our surah, our actually essence is chakuko bekisa kovoit, and we are floating between these two extremes. And whenever we go down, with the influence of the feelings, which is normal and natural, of the human feelings, you have to rise, or you have to do, connect to your soul, connect to your heaven, connect to your shamayim, connect to your kisa kovoit, and you rise. When you rise too high, to the point that you don't feel anymore, not sensitive to human needs, go down, stay normal. And that balance is the most delicate balance. That's the delicate balance which makes a beautiful person. No extremes is acceptable in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism. The balance is the most important part. I'm just going to share with you, which I said last week. There was a gathering here of an organization called Tafkid. Tafkid is parents who have Down syndrome children and grandparents. And there was a big crowd. Some unfortunate or fortunate, I don't know what to say. Hashem knows his business. There's a very big percentage of Down syndrome children. I also happen to have, Baruch Hashem, a grandchild, a Down syndrome child. And my daughter was there, my son was there. Rav Pam happened to have a grandchild, a Down syndrome child, was also speaking. Now, one of the tafkid is, the mission of this organization is to take other children from the closet. Because unfortunately, our Yidolach, the Greener Yidin, the European Jews, they're some kind of embarrassed with it. They're unfortunately, some of them hiding in closets for many years, nobody should know. It's a suffering, in double suffering, plus they deprive the child, deprive themselves, it's a terrible thing. They can't appreciate the gift that Hashem is giving, they can't cope with Hashem's interference with our lives. So one of the mission of this organization is to encourage people to come out with it and to deal with it and to accept it and appreciate it. And I said, that was my main message, which I would like to share here too. We suffer from extremism. Either people can't accept it, they feel they're being punished, they feel Hashem hates them, and feel they're being outcast of the society, they're very embarrassed, it's going to shut the shidduchim, and they curse, and they hide them in closets, and they bitter and they cry about it, and everyone is suffering. That's one extreme. Either the two have too earthy, they're being become victimized by their emotional feelings. Either they become too mystical, spaced out, and becomes so happy that they start worshipping this child, and it becomes a whole religion. Especially the shomas, big neshomas, they're so proud of it, they've got such a big gift and such a thing. And they give drushes about it to the such extreme that you could say that properly this person was asking for a Down syndrome child. They're very disappointed they get a normal child. They get to such a high, such a madrega things. And this is really what is happening. Either you... What?
That's how they cope,
but it's not. Hashem wants to cope with normality. Hashem wants to stay normal. So my message was, and this is what the message: it's nothing wrong that we should be floating between those two extremes and stay in the middle, and that makes a perfect person. How do you speak to Hashem? How do you cope with your day-to-day life? You know, how do you cope in a contradictive message? Well, that's the greatness. Moide alo ovar v'tzoyek alo osit. You thank Hashem for everything for so far. You cry and beg and ask and demand for the future. That's a total contradiction. Let's imagine the picture. Rochel and Meili, forgive me if I bring you into the picture. Imagine Rochel is a member of our group here. Rochel came to our shir. Rochel and Meili. Okay. So where are you going to bring you? I'm going to bring you. Imagine Rochel Amenu. I don't know. It's a good thing for me to say such a emotional, because who am I to give a lecture for Rochel Amenu? But suppose Rochel Amenu, who knows, maybe some of you are hidden Rochel Amenu. I don't know. Balance Madregas. Imagine Rochel Amenu came to Shiv. This Shiv is everything. The oldest is here about how much? 8 or 10 years? About 9 years here. Imagine Rochel Amenu came here. She was at the age, you know, very close to possible having children, and she can't have a child. All doctors said together she was an islander. By nature, she couldn't have a child. And she comes to the shiur. Do you think Rochel Amenu? Now, we also know Rochel Amenu was a big davener, and she was crying. She was banging away, and she took up Yaakov's head, and says, "How many born and bring with children? My mason achdi." And she did every possible ishtadlus which humanly a person could do to bring a child. She went, she bought in Bilha. It was the first one. She bought on a competitor. She bought in competition. She bought in her maid. And she says to Yaakov Avinu, take Bilha as a wife and have a child with her. We bought a gamma noichemen, I'm going to build through her. So many people think, you know, instead of going to adoption service, I'm giving you a woman, my maiden, have a child. It's going to be my child. I'm going to adopt the child. It's a mistake. The Sephora says, as she used to mention many times, Sephora says she did a very smart thing. Says, here is my maiden. It couldn't be something more painful for a woman when she can't have a child for her husband, and she gives her maid to her husband, and all of a sudden the maid is pregnant and she has a child. And the maid is more worthy to her husband than I, the competition, the tzore. As much Leah had children, wasn't so painful for Rochel than her maid should compete with her. It was very painful to see emotionally, humanly, her sister having the children, especially she brought in Leah into the house. She gave this morning over to Leah. And Hashem is rewarding her, but she has no children, he has no children. But it's no question, naturally, as a human, foreign human being, it couldn't be so painful Leah and her sister having children than her maid should have children. Why does she say, take my bilo? You have to be born, I'm going to be built through her. Says the Sephora Meiridig. Says Rochel Amenu realized as much she davens, she doesn't daven deep enough to Hashem from the depth of her heart. The pain is not yet at the highest measurable pain. She did not dwell into the deepest part of her heart to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As painful it was, there was certain madrega there which took away that pain. She couldn't deliver a full prayer from the depth. Mimamakim korosicho Hashem, from my depth of my heart, I'm calling out to you, Hashem. How deep of the heart. Chas v'shalom, when we pray for somebody, the more we love that somebody, the more he's a part of that somebody, the deeper the prayer is. So Rochel Amenu felt. She felt she must have a child, she will have a child, she knew she will have a child. Obviously, For having a child, she has to have the maximum mishtavus, the maximum tefillah. So far, nothing worked. Because she knows her mission is to bring shvatim, she knew she has to have a child. She says, what is wrong? What didn't I do enough? Your tefillah was not deep enough. Your prayer was not deep enough. So what did she do? She brought in a tzorah into the house, a competition into the house. She brought in a maiden. And once she's going to be pregnant, that's going to pinch me so much. It's going to hurt me so much. That tefillah, then I'm going to cry out to Hashem. That tefillah is going to hit the kisa kovet, and that's going to make it. That's what Suponna says. She intentionally, purposely exposed herself to an additional pain in order that tefillah should come from a deeper root of the heart, and then the tefillah must reach. Now, I'm not finished yet with Rochel. So Rochel said, so finally she brought in Bilo, and Bilo gave birth, and Rochel was plotting away now. Now she was really plotting away, and now she goes to Yaakov and says, my pain is unbearable. If you're not going to pray for me, to bring me a child, I'm dying. I'm dying from pain. So Rochel reached the maximum of human emotional pain and suffering, and that was the highest level of tefillah.
That's right, I said, she knew she was
going to
have a child.
Okay, the answer is, I can't tell you for sure that she knew. Obviously, she knew and she didn't know. All of us should know that we should have children, because we came into this world for a tafkid, for a mission, and one of the tafkid is to have children. So we should all know we should have children. Let me finish with Rochel. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say Rochel sitting in this classes here, comes month after month. How do you perceive seeing Rochel Imeni at a wedding, at a bar mitzvah, at the bris of your neighbor in the shul, with the sour face, with crying out eyes, almost smiling, almost beaming, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. She herself gives lecture for childless people and giving kol chizuk. That's the way I perceive her seeing her. And it's not a contradiction at all what she said to Yaakov, Chovah Libori V'nai Meisanach. That's what I'm trying to say. Rochel was the perfect example of our Moisa Gdosh V'Dietan, that she was Moide Allah over. Simultaneously, when she was fully thankful for Hashem, for her role, for her position, the way Hashem set her up, not having a child. At the same time, when she was totally Moide Allah over, she was only crying and praying for the future. And the future does not shadow the past, and the thankfulness of the past does not overshadow the future, not to daven. She held on to the both extremes. For one hand, she was very thankful. Why was she? Because she was connected to heaven, she was connected to her seichel, she was connected to her neshama. She knows that my child, now I will give you something now, but take it please, it's a gift to you. What is really your child? When Hashem gives you a child, it's not your child. Forgive me, animals also have children. And Hashem gives it to you. What you want, that's not your child, that's Hashem's child. But Hashem does not give it to you. And you accept Hashem. You accept yourself. You become the child. You give birth to yourself. That's the district's parsha. This is the child of Noach. What is it? Torah wants to give me the children of Noach, the real physical, biological children. The second pasuk, Shem Ham Yafet. But the Torah says, those are the children of Noach, not of Hashem's children. Who are the children of Noach? Noach. Says, is Noach the children? Shem Ham Yafet are the children. Says, no, Noach was his own child. Why? The child of a person is the mitzvah. Means as follows. What defines the word child? What is a child? You bring a child into this world. Had you ever brought yourself into the world? You were brought into the world. You were not asked. When do you become, when do you give birth to yourself? When do you bring yourself into the world? When you accept yourself. When you're appreciative of your role. You say, Hashem, I'm thanking you that you put me in this position, in this situation, so far whatever you give, more than over. I'm fully thankful for my position. I could accept this. Also, as a human being, I'm hurting. Also, emotionally, I'm hurting. I'm lacking. And I'm needing. That's my orat, that's my earth, that's my body. What my intellect, my understanding, my soul, my seichel, my neshama, I am in Kisa Kovet. I may be sleeping on the ground, but I'm connected to the Kisa Kovet and I'm fully appreciative. The Moida Allah Ovar is that I'm fully appreciative of my role because I'm connected to my intellect, to my Seichel. And
that tranquilizes my physical human body, human pain. But here comes the delicate line. It's easy to freak out. It's easy to go into meditation and go into musa and to go into becoming freaked out, a spaced out person. You become all, I don't care for children, I don't care for clothing, I don't care for nothing. I'm just with neshama. To become an agent, become a wife, go to Uman and stay there, who knows for long, and just meditate yourself away. That's easy. Hashem says, no, I don't want you to ignore your body. I don't want you to ignore your humanness too. At the same time, when you're connected to your heaven, that you're thanking for the past, that you give birth to yourself, you took control of yourself, I want you to pamper yourself too, and take note of your pain, of your needs, and daven for that. At the time when you moed al over and you're thanking for the past, I want you to be tzoikal osid. You should also cry for the future. Don't give up on crying. And I think the shleimus, the greatness of Rachel and Meinu Oz, you know, if the Torah would have not mentioned anything about Rachel's behavior about lack of having children, and you would ask me, describe me Rachel, how was she acting to Hashem? How was she acting in a personal life with no children? You would describe Rachel, she was always going around, she was the greatest, as sort of Schneider. She was going around, she was childless, and she was the greatest person, she had no problems. Would you for a moment imagine a statement of, on you, if the Torah doesn't tell it to you, would you ever portray Rachel Emeinu going around crying and grudging, and yelling at her husband, give me children, if not I'm dead, I'm worthless. Would you ever imagine that? You would never imagine that. You would imagine the greatness of Rachel Emeinu. She's accepting. She's sameach b'chelkai. She mekavli suirim b'ahava. Why? Because she's connected to her intellect. She knows I'm giving birth to myself. Because you have to remember, every moment when you take control over yourself by connecting to this truth, the emes of Torah, you at this moment you're born. You now take control of yourself. That's your own child. You become your own child. So I definitely look Rachel in such a way. But when Torah tells me that Rachel Emeinu wasn't freaked out, wasn't totally spaced out, Rachel Emeinu was at the same time as definitely we appreciate Rachel Emeinu definitely was fully appreciated for her role, but at the same time she was also crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she was connected to her human needs too, to emotional needs too, to the physical needs too. It's not a contradiction. And that's a delicate line. This is a message in every aspect of our lives. That's tefillah. How do you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now imagine Lahavd Elif Abdullah. You know, imagine Elif Abdullah that you have an audience with President Clinton. Or with a great person, the greatest person. Yeah, obviously you're going to take some training, how to talk, especially if you have a request. You know, there's a delegation, you're asking a big thing, whatever there is. So you make all kind of a preparation, how you speak, how you thank, and how you welcome, and how you praise, what you're asking. There's a system, you speak in front of the king. Speaking in front of Hashem, tefillah, you have an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you could talk to Hashem, and Hashem is listening. You have an open door, because you're in trouble, you're in pain, and Hashem loves people who are in pain, they have open doors. You tefillahs, you have open doors, anytime you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're pouring out your heart, it's an open, the shara, the moist, l'ninalu, never a thieves ever, the gates of thieves are never locked up. There's nothing could lock you up from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But so then you had an audience as many times as you want, you could talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of your circumstances. So how do you organize this? How do you deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Will it come with full of complaints? She says, come on, you don't trust me? You actually grudging against me? Why should I listen to you? You're full of complaints. If I'm going to give you a child, you're going to continue to complain again. You can't, where is the Kabbalah, it's a Sirah, how, where is the trust in me? Will you come fully dancing, laughing, spank, Hashem, I trust, I love you, I don't need anything, I trust you. So where is your humanness? I gave you a body, I gave you emotion, I gave you feelings. I gave you the Mo'id. You're a product of Toiv Mo'id. Toiv Mo'id Zera. Where is the Ra? You have to take care of the Ra. The combination. So we are now preparing ourselves how to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does Chazal say? How do you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know how to speak? Don't ignore neither of them. Don't go to extremes of Moed al Ova. Come fully appreciate him to Hashem. Thank him, sing him, thank him for everything so far. I thank you for every moment so far. He didn't give me a chance. I have no complaint. I gained so much. I grew so much. I gave birth to myself, everything. But Hashem, don't give me. I want more children. I want children. Help me. This person got help after 30 years. I want to get help. I'm not yet 30. Whatever it is, you could make miracles. I'm expecting of your miracles. I deserve that. Why deserve it? Because I accepted so far everything which you've done to me. I accept it. Have no complaints, no grudges, no pain, no feelings. And if even if you're not going to listen to me, still I'm not going to have any complaints. But you have to listen. Why? Because I'm hurting. And if you're hurting, you love me. I'm your child. That's the gift. That's the greatness of. That's the sensitivity and the complex and the which most people do not understand. Most people, they go off extremes. Either they complain too much, either they just ignore the pain and ignoring themselves, which is wrong too. So I said last week at this vision that you see people behave these two extremes. Either they're very embarrassed, very angry, and they lock up the children in closets forever. Either they worship those Down syndrome children, those special children, make organizations, and they pamper them, and they become gods, little gods. And they said, so this is also not right. Says we have to thank what we got, and we have to ask Hashem, don't you ever give me more, and don't give it for nobody else. Those are not natural, normal children. We call them special children. Says, you know why we call them special children? Because they make us into special parents. We become special people. Because when we get children, we become special too. In other words, every time when Hashem gives us special situation makes you into a special person. These words which you just heard now, those are words which is yours, you bought it out, you developed it in the course of all these years, and this is words which you will seldom find, but this is the absolute truth, the absolute emes, the absolute beauty, and the absolute greatness that we could give, when we could live this concept, be thankful and appreciative so far what happened till now, but pray for the future. That's the biggest madrig of normality, that you connected to your earthly body, to emotions, but what you had to, you connected to your neshama, to your head, and you appreciate of your role, and that living continuously, this, it's not a steer, it's not a contradiction. And that's where you're giving birth to yourself, you made yourself. I will just add one extra thought, which is the beginning of Bereshis in Noach now, and then I will leave it to you questions. And you should better ask questions if you want to bring up. And you don't have to agree with me. In other words, if you're not what? Okay. So I don't want you to go out confused. So please one last clarification. But let me give you why does Hashem put down exactly the detailed story about the creation, the world, Adam, and everything else mankind developed? Why? Why do we read them? Why is it teaching? Why is it a trader? Why do we learn them? Answer because it applies to me. We have to look at it as you are automation, you are Chava. You are the one who is the first man, the only man in the world. Hashem created you. Hashem created the world. Hashem created the Gan Eden. And you have to apply it to you. And let's bring it down to us. Hashem creates a world, which the world is a Gan Eden. What is a Gan Eden? Everything is the Seder. Everything is beautiful. Everything is understood. There's no pain. There's no disappointment. You get what you deserve, whatever you want. That's a Gan Eden. Can you imagine in a Gan Eden being childless? There's no such a thing. There's no such a thing having Down syndrome children like Gan Eden. There's no such a thing. Gan Eden means perfect world. A perfect, beautiful world which Hashem could do. Hashem shows his beauty by creating the most beautiful world. That's a Gan Eden. So Hashem created a Gan Eden. Hashem creates a man which is a beautiful man, a complete man, a man who lives forever, and man who gave birth right away for children in Gan Eden, right the first day before even he sent. Cain was born in before he sinned. See that the children too? That's Chazal tell us. What do you want of this man? You made the most beautiful world. You made of the most beautiful man, a man who lives forever. Now listen carefully what Hashem gives to man. Hashem tells, I'm going to go to the end, and then you're going to see how it fits in beautiful in Pshat. Hashem gave the man three options. How to relate your life, how to utilize your life in this world which I created. The first option, what man really picked and chose, you could destroy yourself, you could destroy the world. If you eat from the tree of wisdom of the Eitz Hadaat, you're going to die. You know what, the same person I created you, I will reduce you to the size that you are today, and you're going to be a dying being, as we know. And the world is no more a Gan Eden. The world is going to be suffering and death and problems exactly as we have today. That's the first option. And by the way, that's the option which Adam chose to be. The second option, that just be obedient. Don't eat from the Eitz Hadas and sit in the Gan Eden, enjoy life. And you could do anything else. That's all. You can do anything else. That's the second option, which Adam refused to be. What is the third option? Is there a third option in your opinion? What is the third option? There wasn't only two options. In other words, there was three options. So let me tell you what it is. I give you a moshul. Imagine there's a father with a child. The father is a very wealthy, prosperous, has a wealthy business, a prosperous business. The father could say three things to his child. Child, I love you. I give you some orders what you have to behave. And if you behave, you've been taken care of 100%. Just do this and this and this. I will take care of you 100%. One option. Other option he tells to the child, if you are willing to do more than these basic things and we're willing to be more and more involved, I take you as a partner to my business. And me and you, we're going to be partners in this business. He gives me a third option. If you want to do even more, you could take over the business for me and you take care of me. You feed me. What would a clever child do? A clever child wants the maximum. Says, okay, I'm willing to take the whole business. And daddy, I love you. I will take care of you. Why should you take care of me? Why should we be partners? Why shouldn't you enjoy life? You were so kind that you gave me over the entire business. I'm going to take care of you. That were actually the three options which Adam got. And that's every one of us we got. Hashem created the world. The world is a business. It's an asek with the world, with Torah, with mitzvahs and averik, asek atoyah. The world is producing. The world is in production. Hashem's world is in production. And when Mashiach will see, we're going to see the completed world. Now, Hashem created man. The child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Tzelem Elokim Bara Yisrael, is a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem gives this man three options. If you want to be only a worker, a Ben Noach, you don't mind, you just have seven mitzvahs, I take care of you. But you're not my partner. If you're not my partner, means you can't stay with me in the business forever. You're a dying being. You have an option to be in this world as a worker. I give you seven mitzvahs and I take care of you. I want you to know, if the Goyisha world will anonymously accept seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach, would be the world of Gan Eden. The world would be a Gan Eden. They would die, everything, but it would be beautiful world. People would never die, never kill each other, never rob, never steal, because Bnei Noach is not supposed to steal, not even show a Peter. You know what kind of beautiful world this is? What is the world not giving? Imagine a picture when people would behave with the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. What kind of beautiful world would there be? Chesed and people, there's enough. There's such a world, is a beautiful, beautiful world. So who is destroying the world? Who is punishing the world? Hashem? No, people do it themselves. Because they don't even do the first option. Then Hashem gave Adam a second option. You could become partners with me to maintain and operate the world. What do you have to do? Just don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. That's none of your business. That's heaven. And the rest, cultivate and do La'avda, La'shamra, cultivate the fields, whatever you have to do, and be a partner. I initiated the Gan Eden, and you're cultivating it. You just like gave over the business. You cultivate. So we are partners. I made the business, and you are cultivating the business. And we're going to share the dividends. Now, if you share the dividends, you're partners, then you have to live forever, because the dividends, for Hashem, is a dividend for you too. So when Hashem takes the dividends, you have to take the dividends. That means living forever. But then Hashem gave a higher potential for man, that you could take away the whole world from me, and you're around the world, and you provide me, you give the parnasa for me. The Goy is the Benoach of today, which is the result of the sin of Adam. That's the Goy. Avraham Avinu and Am Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, we became partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Shuta Fajr HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. We were born into partnerships. But then there is a third potential, which is our potential. Any moment you could decide. It's a chosid. Do what more than you're required to do. Take over the world. Every moment you're in production. To be a partner, Hashem does not demand of us 24 hours production. To be a partner, to keep Shechon Aruch, you don't have to be 24 hours involved in mitzvahs. There's basic things that you do what you don't do. But Hashem said to Adam Arishon, when all the things you could eat, just don't eat from the center of the tree. Adam could have interpreted two ways. For all the things you may eat if you want, you don't have to eat if you don't want. Rishus. Then you're only a partner. What you could have interpreted, we call it Fedanochazak, it's a mitzvah. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to, anything which you do, enjoy my company. Take over the world. And Hashem asks him, tells a man, Milius oilis, plural will multiply in the soul. Take over, Milius, fill in the world, to keep sure, conquer it. Conquer it from whom? From Hashem. Take away the world from Hashem. And what happens when a person lives 100% with Hashem in the world? Says, me, Moshe, will be such a, who is ruling? A tzaddik, Moshe, will be. The tzaddik is ruling over me. Yisroel mefarnesim l'aviyem shebashemayim. Yisroel, Jewish people give panosah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're taking care of Hashem. Many times he mentioned the word chosid. Why is it called chosid? Says the Zohar HaKadosh. It does more than yesu. Shemischasim kados chesed vit Hashem. I'm doing chesed vit Hashem? Yes. If you're a partner, you don't know chesed vit Hashem. You get your share, he gets his share. In other words, when you live a life, that means, Adam Arish, when he came into the Gan Eden, should he not ruin the world, but he shouldn't go upward to become a chosid? That's exactly what you're looking for, to what to get. What do we say to ourselves now? Now let's be, go back down to ourselves. We say to ourselves, Hashem, why can't you behave with me normally? I want to be a normal human being. Give me children. Give me panosa. Give me, let me live 120 years. I want to take care of you. I want to keep telling me. I want to marry up the children. I want to have grandchildren. I want to keep a learning Torah. I want to have a child of a Shashiva and a child of a Rabbi. I want to be a partner. Why don't you allow me to do what I want? I want a Gan Eden. That's what you want. You want a Gan Eden, a normal world. You want a normal life. Why should people get sick? Why should people with so many tragedies? Let's be normal. Let's be partners. You do your share, I do my share. Isn't that what you're sitting here? Isn't that what you really want? But there's a higher potential. Hashem says, take away the world from me. Yes, you were born into partnership. But when I take that away from you, it's not a normal world. By the way, it wasn't my decision, it was your decision. We got chased out from the Gan Eden because I chased you out, because you elected to go down. Other men elected to go down. Amiso made the Egel Azov. We had the Beis HaMikdash. We used to have normal Gan Eden life. You know when we used to have a normal Gan Eden life? They had the Beis HaMikdash. There was no problem. Everyone got helped. You had Tzaddikim, you had Nevi'im, you had Ruach HaKodesh, you had Chusim. And things were helped. Somebody asked me, was it a question coming up? We don't see any place in the past people dying without children. I don't know if it's the case or not. Maybe that I'm sure that was. But they didn't make such a big fuss about it, they should document them. It wasn't such an issue. The issue is only issue as long as I could have as my spaller, but once Hashem didn't give, people leave the world with full tanking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But maybe, when the world was a normal world, that we were in so-called in Gan Eden, we doing that around the world, yes, we got children, because you done, Tzadik Goyza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. But Mitna Chateini Gli Marteini, we are thrown out. We are Holocaust people. We have a home, we have a Golos, we are Golos Eden. We don't have a Gan Eden anymore. We were chased out of the Gan Eden. Now when we chase after Gan Eden, we want to get back, we want to recapture. What do you want to recapture? The base which Hashem gave, or do I want to go a step higher? I want to conquer the Gan Eden. I want to become my world. Shall Hashem give us what we want? We will never go a step higher. But Hashem does not give us what we want. So now you have two choices. Either crack up and be depressed and be grungy and be complainful and stay out of the Gan Eden. Or you say, oh, what Hashem, I'm accepting it. That's my world. I'm giving birth to myself. I'm a chosid. I'm a kabbalist surah mahava. I could live with it and appreciate the fact that you trust me. You're conquering the world. You're giving panos at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem would give you a natural child, Hashem gave you a child. But when Hashem does not give a child and you accept, you give Hashem a child. Who? Yourself. You're accepting yourself. You accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're conquering the world. You give panosah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we want to be normal. We want children. But if Hashem does not give, only that means the Gan Eden, the medium potential is not here. So you have all, either you step down and get destroyed, either you step up. You know what, Hashem? If you don't feed me, you don't give me my partnership, I'm going to feed you. I'm accepting it, and I'm going to take the best out of it, and I'm going to smile for you, I'm going to sing for you, I'm going to thankful for you. I'm still going to cry to have a child as long as I could have a child. But that does not mean I'm not accepting so far much I didn't get. What you heard now is the embers, and this is the truth, and this is the beauty of life. To live with it is a madrega. But as many times you heard, well, sometimes there's no alternative. either to crack up, either to live it a madrega. There can be normal, so-called normal, because Hashem does not allow us to be normal. He doesn't give me what I want. If he would give me what I want, I would be normal. But if he doesn't give me, and I can't force him, I can't twist his arms, we haven't got those tzaddikim, so I can be normal. So if I can be normal, then I should be cracked up and be down and be a worker, a grudgy worker, and then become a supplier, a provider. I'm going to give panos et HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that better? To give panos et HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's the choice that you have to make in your life. Not to give up, not to ask for a child. You should ask. But at the same time, accept yourself in case you don't have a child, accept as a just as well. Because then I gave myself as a child to you. I provided you, I said you should provide me. Isn't that greatness? Yeah, we'll take your questions.
I can speak for other people.
Yes, go ahead.
It seems to me sometimes if I would accept closure, the doctor says, forget it, lady, there is just no chance. To me personally, it would be much easier for me to just say, okay, this is the way it is, and to stop davening for a child. But the fact that I've lived so many years hoping and praying and trying and davening and crying, that itself is a difficulty. That itself is a difficulty. And it seems to me if that difficulty could be taken away, my life would be easier.
Let me ask.
I have to stop thinking about it.
Your question is wonderful, but you're missing one piece of information.
Well, no.
What if you take that information which I give you, you're going to be the opposite, the contrary. Let me tell you. What is the accomplishment of life? The accomplishment of life is exactly what you described the past. I was asking and praying and hoping. Asking and praying. I always say, asking and praying and hoping and learning and getting chizuk is not a means to a goal. It is the goal. Every time when you spoke to Hashem and asked and begged them, you fulfilled the mission. That is the mission. That is bringing a child to the world. That was Isaac Bafiri Verivia. And if you did it for X, Y years, I say that it's tragic. Don't accept what the doctor is saying to you. Because once you accept what the doctor is saying to you, you stop producing. You say, if a doctor comes to the lady, he can never have a child, never gonna have a child, says, I don't believe you, I don't trust you, God is everything possible, God could do everything, God could have a tree, have a child. And I will have a child, I'm gonna pray. Because the minute you accept what the doctor told you, you go in your retirement. You stop producing. Because what is your production? Your production is the davening, your production is the hope, your production is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The connection of the tefillah which you have with Hashem, that is your accomplishment. Not what Hashem gives or doesn't give. And don't you ever accept any doctor's statements to give up. Because the minute you give up, don't you ever stop davening, you continue to daven. And that's also Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara says, you know what, give up, make peace of it and accept this. Because you know, then you're stopping davening. You're stopping having children. Because as long you hope and as long you daven, you're having a child every moment. I said many times, and this is, take it literally, in the world to come, you're going to be asked, or sucked over a period where you're busy, where you're trying at having a child. Not did you have a child or not. Most people have children, they don't do anything. Matter of fact, they cry about it, they get pregnant, they get depressed, and they don't know what to do with themselves. Having a child, what we are, is what exactly what you're doing. Praying and trying, and going to doctors, and trying again, and giving tzedakah. Every involvement, every asking of Hashem, that's called a sakta piravidya. And let me tell you something else, which is an absolute truth. I can't give you the detail, but this is being wrote in the Sifrei Kabbalah, the mystical form is being done. You have to understand one thing. Forgive me if I, in order to give justice and understanding, you shouldn't believe in that, you should understand it, so I have to give some halachic background. We know that one of the greatest sin for a man is to waste sperm. That's the biggest is mamish ritzicha. Why is it that? Because every sperm is a life. What we know, in order to have children, and then also know that once a woman is pregnant, she doesn't have to be with her husband. So how come she's allowed to be with her husband? How is it a mitzvah to be? Is it a waste of sperm? How many children can you have? She's pregnant already. Or she can't have a child. So why is a mitzvah to go to the mikvah? Why is a mitzvah to be together? It's being taught that every mitzvah digger release of sperm is bringing an neshama down to the world. And sometimes the neshama gets a body when we see a physical chart. Sometimes the neshama is done, not sometimes, most of the time. There's millions of neshamas which they don't get bodies. But that the neshamas are alive. That the neshamas are existing. And the Mashiach will come. Chazal tell us, Em ben David bo, Mashiach will not come until all the neshamas do not come down. The neshama doesn't mean have to be physical children. The physical is a secondary addition to the neshama. When people have no shalom bayis, and people don't live together, people don't live what is the supposed to be Ahava of Achva Shalom. The Ahava of Achva Shalom Vereus, which is the neshama of a household, is not just for the benefit of the two people that they should enjoy life. It's for Hashem's accomplishment that he should send down the neshama, because every union, every reunion between a husband and wife living together brings down neshamas. They're producing neshamas. So fact of a piri v'riva is not a waste. Every time you eat together, you always think of piri v'riva in this pru urvum. That's what Pasuk says. That's the mystical meaning. Pru urvum milu esoretz. Pru urvum multiply, milu fill in the world. You should sure conquer the world. How do you multiply? How do you fill the world? You're bringing down endless neshomas, because as much as you're together for the purpose to get pregnant and to have children, or for the purpose of, because that's the mitzvah, have of achve shalom v'reyus, brings down neshomas. And most of the time, most of the people will never get this message, how productive life is being together and loving each other when there is children, because everyone has children, that's all what it is. So when you have no children and you think your life is wasted, your life is absolutely not wasted. So when Al-Kona said to Hannah, why do you cry? I'm better if you than 10 children. What did you try to say in the mystical sense? Says, of course, she was crying. She has no children. So God said, why are you crying? You have no children? The fact that I'm with you is better than 10 children. Being with you has 10 children, not one child. You're not cashing in the relationship in a physical child. It's a spiritual child. Eventually, one day, we smile, we laugh. Every kedusha digger, every holy way, every performance of the way a Yiddish family is supposed to live, al pi Torah, al pi Shulchan Aruch, al pi kedusha v'tahara, al pi tzniyus, and al pi v'hafta racha kamocha, which is neshama, is producing endless neshamas. Now this is Amuna, this is Chazal, this is Torah, this is faith. Now what is happening when a person can't accept this? Again, he's not connected to his intellect, to his understanding. He's connected to his emotional, physical interpretations. And I have the one of children, like our Italian's neighbor. They also have children. They also die. They're terribly bad if you can't have children. We have a totally different outlook. What we never come to this outlook is... if it wouldn't be special people, special cases, no children. So all of a sudden we have to think, we have to accept, we have to work with it. So you have to know, for not one second had you wasted time. Every prayer that you prayed, in every relationship which we had in order to have child, in every discomfort situation, in every procedure, in every medical procedure, in every davening, in every tzedakah, was a fact of the period. When you accomplished, you have to thank Hashem for that, that nobody could take away from you. But don't stop. Continue to pray, continue to hope, because then you continue to produce having children. But once you accept that you cut off, you're never going to have children because the doctor said so, then you give it enough davening anymore, so the whole procedure stops. Be in production to the last day. Now, I have not had the privilege yet to speak to, because often I don't know even who to ask. In my opinion, and I'm saying it with the grain of caution, in my opinion, halachadik, an 80-year-old woman, she has no children, and she still pays, she acts, she will not have children, should daven for children. Hayad Hashem tikta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless she's not married. Hayad Hashem tikta, can HaKadosh Baruch Hu not help? Hayad Hashem tikta? Now, does Hashem have to listen to you? That's not the issue. If I pray for a child, it just the praying for a child is a child. I am the child. It cannot be great. It cannot be bigger, a greater amuna in a Kodesh Baruch when you beg away a Kodesh Baruch. And I will ask with all sincerity, Baruch Hashem, I didn't meet the family, the Schlesinger family in Yerushalayim. I'm almost sure that they didn't get a child 30 years, a twin, when they gave up at the age of 25. They wouldn't have. They must have pushed and pushed for the last moment. What? Yes? Yeah, they pushed. Now, That's good. Now, that doesn't mean that you could push it for having a child at the age of 60. Does it mean that it's wasted? It's not wasted. Now, where did I take this guts to say that's what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you why. Because what is the halacha when you see a 99-year-old man, a 100-year-old vegetable, and never dying? It happened to be a close relative. And you're very hurting. What are you praying? Please, Hashem, maintain, keep him alive. All the doctors, everything is given up. You pray for the last minute. It's a to pray for the last minute. You really expect? Come on, you don't expect? It's the worst thing when you put down the tilm and stop davening. Because you make Hashem as a nevi. Because when you think davening is a means to a goal, you may be right. But davening is the goal. The pain is the means. So when a person is 60, 70 years old, and there's a pain of not having a child, there is a means which necessitates daven. Davening is the child. Davening is a fact of pity. It doesn't have to be a physical child. And Hashem, if he wants, he could give a physical child that too. Of Teluchas, he could give it too. I could just to surprise us. We could see that too. But Lemaisa, if a person trains herself to know that we are in high production, the business is our business, it's my world, it's not Hashem's. Hashem gave it over to me. That's what my being here, I'm in full production. I'm happy and I'm joyful, and I'm supplying a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So as I said before, it's very interesting to capsulize it in this word. Should Hashem listen to you and give you a child what you wanted, is Hashem supplying you? When Hashem does not give you a child, and you continue to ask for a child, and accept yourself not having a child, you're giving Hashem a child. You're giving yourself a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're giving yourself. You're giving yourself back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That Eilat Toil Lesnach Mitzvahs Masen Toivim Shem Tzedikim Zeh Toil Yoseh. What is the Mitzvahs Masen Toivim? Accepting, living with Hashem. Now, how do you live with Hashem? By accepting Hashem. It hurts. The more it hurts, and it still accepts, the greater child the gift of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's not a contradiction. The hurt, it should hurt. Because should it not hurt, big deal. What are you giving to Hashem? It's not hurting. You see, today's people who they don't want to have children, they do all kinds of not to have children. What are they giving to Kodesh Baruch Hu? What we are normal Yiddish people who want to have children, we will accept a dozen of them. And we're hurting, why don't we have them? And even then we accept if she doesn't give. I gave myself up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Some other voice will be Pirivirivya. Question is, does Hashem give me? Do I give to my Hashem? It depends. If Hashem gives me a best I could be, a partner. Does Hashem not give me? And I'm still accepting, I'm giving myself to Kodesh Baruch Hu.
But let me ask you, getting back to the 100-year-old man who's dying, it seems to me that a better fellow would be, I mean, what do I know? I would daven that whatever is good, let it happen, let this person not suffer, let the family not suffer, and let it be as painless as possible. So what is wrong with our davening? Whatever happens, and it seems that a child is not on the way, let the pain go away. Is that wrong? But it seems to me, I'm hearing that no, that the more pain the better. But it comes to a point, I mean, you know,
The answer to that would be as follows. If the pain goes away naturally, you're this type of a person that you can make peace. Some people are very easy, they make peace with themselves very fast. And the pain is literally not there, you're right. But if the pain is there, just you work on yourself to remove the pain, don't remove it. The pain is a very healthy thing. Because whenever there is pain, you dumb, and every dumb, you accomplish the mission. In other words, pain shows sensitivity, which is a healthy thing. And again, when this parent have a Down syndrome child, and instead of putting him into the closet, they start worshipping the child. They become so special, and they make a whole religion out of it. Almost to the point they were praying for the... I would ask you, by the way, you're praying for the next child, also Down syndrome child, they're so special? They're not normal. If the pain is not there, it's wonderful to accept the child and to be thankful and to know that you're dealing with a big neshama. It's wonderful. But only if you stay normal that you can... Please, it's enough for me one. The next child should be a normal child. But you've fallen so much in love with a special child that you want all your children special things, you're meshuggah. Remember, I told you once the beautiful Torah of Rav Shlomo Lev, the first Bava of the Rebbe. Beautiful, beautiful word. It's most one of the nicest words which I... All the unfortunate apostles, what was the big sign of that Kedah? Big deal, Avraham Avinu is giving up his only child to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu gave up his life, right? The first sign, the second sign. Imagine Imagine Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu and says, Avraham, you love me? Yes. I want a very, very, very special gift from you. Something was the dearest thing. When Avraham on his own, if it would be allowed to give a child, wouldn't you expect Avraham to say, Hashem, you know what is the most dearest treasure which I had? It's my only one child. I give him to you as a gift. Are you accepting it? Hashem says, yes. Would you come and jump and dance as such a privilege to give back my only child to Hashem? I would expect this. What's the big Nisayan? Abraham Avinu goes and slaughters his child. That's the greatest gift that you could do to Hashem. Show your devotion to Hashem. When you want to give a gift, you give the greatest gift that you give. So give your only child. Big deal. What is it? The Nisayan was, when Hashem asked him, take your only child, I want you to do it, but I want you to remain a father. I don't want you to remain a normal person with all the emotion, with all the feeling, with all the sensation of losing only one child. I want you to stay normal. I don't want you to freak out. So Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, please, I beg you, says Rashi, please stay normal, remain normal. Don't start, oh, yes, such a privilege. Hashem is accepting my greatest treasure, my only one son. I'm so privileged to give up my only son to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't want it. I want you to stay a normal person as a normal father loses a child. In love, if not, the people who say the first Shoenis is also not nothing. So the Shlomo Lubavitcher, if you're going to come and sing and dance, they have such a privilege, you have one child, says Mr. Glatter Meshuggah, all the previous so which it is also. You're not a normal person, not insane. You lost your sanity. You're a simple, crazy guy. I want you to be normal. That's exactly the message I want here.
Well, what happens?
Not to give up. If you feel the pain, it's normal. Hold on to that. Do something with it. What do you do with it? Keep talking to Hashem. Hashem, you recognize my pain, and I'm accepting it for you. Please, you could help. I still want a child from you. You could do anything. I'm not listening to the doctor. So why should you do it? But in case you don't want to give me a child, I'm still praying for that. Let my prayer go for other people who don't pray for children, that didn't give children. There's many, many, many things. Many things happen. I think I'm going to tell you so, which I said right in the beginning, the first years. I used to tell the story. I wrote it in my book in Self-Esteem. I heard it from the Bala Meister himself, Reb Hillel Schlesinger, Zechariah Livracha. He was once by the Kever Rochel, right in the beginning, in the 1938-39, and there was a secular kibbutz in Israel, which German refugees who were expelled from Germany already in 1939, the late 30s, from Hitler, and then somebody immigrated to Israel, and they were in a kibbutz. And a group of kibbutznikim were at the Kever Rochel. And the Peter Schlesing happened to be at the Kever Rochel. They were secular people, German secular people. And he happened to overhear from a woman, she obviously didn't speak Hebrew yet, she spoke German. And a woman was crying at the Kever. And he said in German, Mutter Rochel, Mami Rochel, you know the feeling of not having a child, you didn't have it too. And she was crying to have a child. And it overtook him. It was such a sincere feeling that she spoke out. She was a total secular person. And obviously, Tinek Shenishva says, you know what it means not to have a child. Please pray for me that I should have a child. Here, she instantly got a feeling that this feeling was answered. And he took note and asked from the people, which kibbutz are you? And so on. And she asked the name of this lady. And he made a note of it. He says, I'm sure this tefillah was answered. Sure enough, a year later, he made a note to contact the kibbutz about this person, said she had a child. There's a sincere tefillah is everything. So if it hurts your sincerity, don't deny it. But don't use it as bitterness, as grudgy, as depression. We have to be thankful so far. So you have to say to yourself, you know, Hashem, I'm thanking you that you gave me all these years, this high mission to expect and pray and get disappointed, and expect and pray disappointed. Every second of this mission is brilliant, is diamonds in the heavenly world, this is the perfect test production. This is production in this life. Should Hashem give you a child 20 years ago and everything fine, you would have nice mitzvah. It's a Gan Eden. But it doesn't come in any way close to the production which you accomplished in the 20 years, davening and hoping, disappointing, davening and hoping, and continue to do that. Now, is naturally that you gave up by nature let's just say I make peace, and so and you're not hurting. You can't make yourself hurt if you're not hurting. But if you keep hurting, but you said, let me talk myself out of it, I had enough of this. No, this is the most precious treasures of a person. When you have this conflict of you and you have to reconcile this, moidal over, be appreciative so far, but try to also keep crying. That's a very important message. We should live this paradoxic statement, this contradictive statement, always. Moidal over, betzaykalos. Moidal over, betzaykalos. So if you give up on it, you're losing the gift. So therefore, my opinion is, if an 80-year-old woman is hurting, Hashem, why didn't you give me a child who should sit and tell, should have the nachos of this and her children, grandchildren, why didn't you give it to me? She could daven for that. And she appreciates and thanks, she daven for that. Would it help? Doesn't matter, but she's still production. She's losing to the last moment. Because I'm convinced that Rochel Amen, at the time she begged of Yaakov, that's a strike all over, no way was she lacking the moed all over. She was accepting, so she was appreciative of her own. And that's a delicate, delicate message. That's the complex of the message, but you have no alternative. If you don't accept the message, then we must fail. As I said, if Hashem does not give the Gan Eden, the medium that you partner with Hashem, Hashem gives and we do what you have to do. If you don't have the Gan Eden, here's only one of the two choices. Either you go down, you're in hell, you suffer, either we go out accepting and praying, accepting high performance, the world is yours, you're giving Hashem a child.
How does an 80-year-old build dominance? He's not going to let become the point where a person may not feel up to having a child in any of it.
If you're not, you know what? You're right. I will tell you what the woman could say. Says Hashem, I'm thanking you for the fact that you trusted me this delicate mission, going through life with all the disappointment you have given me a life. This was precious, treacherous accomplishment. But at the same time, I'm also praying for my pain. I'm still at pain. I still would love to have a child. And I'm praying for that, help me somehow, some way, whatever it is. And if the pain cannot be by me because I'm too old, give the child to somebody else. It's still a factor of a period of behavior. I'm sure that you all remember the Torah that said that all your prayers, not one prayer got wasted. Every prayer brought children into this world. Never mind your own children, never mind your own neshamas, never mind all the accomplishments, but physical children. This is the next story which you should always remember. Nothing comes down to this world without prayers. No child comes down to this world without prayers. All the children which were born who were not prayed for, and not only that, they were prayed of not to get pregnant, even never by from people, those children couldn't come down without prayers. Who children are? Those are your children. Every it's a principle of prayer is unanswered. Every prayer is answered. So every prayer which you answered, so said, no, my boy, you're going to see how many children, physical children, you really have. Every child which was born for your prayer is going to come to give a mommy, Shalom Aleichem. You, I'm your child. You're going to have to pay, you're going to have to share with the physical, biological, the test tube. that biological mom is a test tube, there's a test tube, nothing more than the mechanics. But it's your child, it's your prayers, that's the real prayer, that's the real child. Mitzvah and Toshua, and Zetol Yosef Shavri Odom. Now, if this would be all this Rayonis, all it would be man invented, you could doubt it. This is all Chazal, this is all Torah, this is all beauty. And here you have the challenge to accept this and live it, and enjoy it, and appreciate. And it's not a contradiction not to be sensitive to your pain and not to doubt. Yes?
You know, when you're sensitive to your pain, when you're very, very down and you're very depressed and you're not functioning in your family, you're not functioning among people, it's very difficult.
You don't allow it to that extent. Pick yourself up.
It's very easy. You're very down. Well, at least I know it's funny. And then you try to fight it and you try to get out of it. And you look at yourself, and when you finally get out of it, so at that point when you're very down and depressed, you're very close to it, and you stop it, and you cry, and you can't stop. But when you do get out of it, those tears don't come so easily. So then you feel guilty. Why am I not crying?
No, no, no.
And then, because it's like, this balance is very difficult.
I know.
I'll tell you, my brother Baba Rebbe, and Baba Rebbe tells me, only through Simcha will it come. And all the years, zav simcha, and then you try to get the simcha, and then you start saying, well, yeah, I'm pretty good, I'm pretty okay, I'm handling, I'm dealing with it. But I'm maybe not crying so much.
You're misinterpreting the word simcha.
I'm not having that terrible pinch that you keep saying, hold that pinch. But if I hold that pinch, then I'm really down over there.
So that's the...
So I'm like...
So the answer is, exactly what
I'm telling you what's going on.
I know, that's exactly what I try to avoid and try here to help you. you're going from extreme to extreme. You call it cuckoo, but you're going from extreme to extreme. You're right. So what I'm saying, the Rebbe absolutely is right, only with simcha. That means while you're down, while the tears are flowing, that should be with simcha. That's why you say there's no tears.
I know.
I know. So
but when I get out of that
So you know what's happening?
But I'm normal because you're not functioning. Your memory is gone. You can't think. You go to simcha, but in your heart, and you put on a smile, you put on your act. But it's very difficult.
So therefore, you come to the shiur here and you make preventive thinking and you don't let yourself think, don't let the situation possess you, rather you possess the situation. In other words, you're right, once you're down and the downness possesses you, you can't think. Once you call yourself up and high, but that's a false high. That means you just disconnected your emotions. You went into your into your brain.
I'm not talking really high. No. I'm talking that you're functioning and you're going around with a smile. You're normal. Like that's what you said. Be normal. Be the normal father. So is this what you call the normal?
So the answer to that is as follows. We say every night, also sota milfoneinu milachreinu. Remove the sotam from front of us and remove the sotam from back of us. Monafshach, is it front of us or is it back of us? The sotam always comes in a different form. Anytime it pulls us down, you pull yourself up. Anytime it pulls you up, you pull yourself down. And that's the way you make the balance. That if you understand the message, now, that being said, the longest distance, the farthest distance, the most difficult distance to connect is the short distance between the brain and the heart. There's nothing closer physically, biologically, than the brain and the heart, but it's the farthest distance. That's exactly the dilemma. Because when you're down to your emotions, to your heart, you're all the way flat down, and your brain does not function. When you lift yourself up, you go to your normal, you're in control, then your brain, then you disconnect your heart. What I'm trying to say, this is called Mitzrayim. We're told in the story Mitzrayim is the Gora, it's the neck. What is the neck? The neck is supposed to connect the brain and the heart, and therefore the whole talking, the vocal cords, speech is actually the connector, is the bridge between brain and heart. When you go out of Mitzrayim, you go out of this Meitzar, where they doesn't let you synthesize your brain to the heart, then you Mitzrayim, you go to see it down, you're up. It's schizophrenic. You call it cuckoo, but it's schizophrenic. That's what it is. But when we get out, so what is the answer? Exactly. When you come and hear the shiur, now you learn it intellectually, you understand it. This has to be chazet and chazet and chazet when you feel good, when you're normal. And you say to yourself, Baruch Hashem, I experienced the one side, the downside, experienced the high side. I have to take the two edges and bring them together and live them continuously as much. There's always going to be a certain imbalance. You're a human being, and Hashem is forgiving. And you don't have to feel guilty if the tears are not coming. And don't be so happy if your tears are flowing and coming up, comes out of depression. Because if it's uncontrolled 3 years, it's a crybaby. It's not intelligent tears. It's good to have intelligent tears. And not to be able to shed tears because you're too high is also not good. So you always have to have the teeth ready when it's being opened up by the intelligent faucet. It's a high, tall order, it's true, but Hashem put you in a very special position, and to solve it is to have this tall order. This has to be chazak, has to be remembered, has to work. And if you're not connected into refined, beautiful, this is all positive hashkofa which you got. No musa, no putting down, not letting ignore any part of your personality, not afraid when you're down that you couldn't handle it. Happens, but if you have a brain that you lift yourself up, but you lift yourself up, don't go just freak out, just go there, keep it together. And when you feel good, when you learn it and you maintain it and you gather it and you're synthesizing them, you're balancing them up, you're always prepared, you always have to be prepared. They are soldiers. That exactly is the void of the thinking.
So you cannot control when that depression comes,
It will not come.
You're having the control.
But if you keep preaching to yourself and to somebody else and preventing it, it's going to come less and less and less and less until you have control over it. Yes. You see, we need preventive maintenance, preventive therapy. Once it's getting... See, the problem is when you feel good, you're not bothered with it, you know. You don't need the shira, you don't need the crisis, you don't need the tapes. And all of a sudden, you know, there's a void, all of a sudden you fall in the nose, and all of a sudden you lost control. That's why we always need the shira. And again, if the shira, hearing the tape is a means to a goal, says, I don't need it. It's the goal. Every time when you think about your situation, and you make peace with it, and ask for it. Remember, have the slogan, I'm thankful for my position, I'm thankful for being special, I'm thankful for my tough kids, what Hashem gave me, I'm thankful for my mission, I'm Mesameh Abachelki. But Hashem wants me to be normal, and I have pain, I want a child, and I'm asking a child. So I'm asking for the future. For the past, you know, that's as the famous Tariq said, who had very big Surim, is how are you doing? He says, what should I tell you? The past is Surim, for no more money in the world would I sell. No money would be able to sell a minute of the past is Surim. The future is Surim, I don't need it for any money. I just take it. If I would any money have, I would give just to have it. That exactly is the right thing. Moidel over, so I can lose it. Don't belittle your past. Ask for the future.
Don't forget, you're allowed to ask for miracles?
Yes. That's what Hannah asked. Hashem, you know what? You know why you could ask for miracles? And you believe in Hashem. You believe in Hashem. If you believe your nature is also a miracle. You could ask for miracles if you believe in miracles. I don't know if I said it to this audience, but it happened to us six weeks ago, to my grandchild. I didn't tell you.
No, we didn't
need to. Okay, let me tell you what was a very interesting thing. Very interesting thing. I got to tell you the story as it was. I'm giving every day 12 o'clock in my office a shiur for ladies. In Spring Valley, Muncie. There is sitting a woman, Nebahu, Hashem should give her a fush, Rebachai, Sarah Basara, with a tumor removal, cancer removal from the brain, and exactly that week she felt she had fever and she stopped feeling in bones. She was sitting in my shiur, and of course, I have to give chizikin, and everyone sitting in the shiur, everyone knows her, everyone is davening, gets a thank with her, and sitting in the shiur. So I was emphasizing that the moon of a yid is, the shlesh of sirikim is, that what is a person? A person is a chesameh, the eternal people. Animam is yid chesameh, and eshet halalot, and zavayet hoshamah. That's a lecture for himself, which is unfortunate, nobody lectures about it. What is the moon in a yid? Your moon in Hashem, you believe in Hashem, Hashem controls, Hashem does, Hashem Torah, Emes, everything, Mashiach. What is the moon in you? You have to believe in you. Who are you? So you that I'm going to live forever, my body's going to be forever. Chesameh. Therefore, make sure to keep smiling, because you're going to get forever, and whatever you train yourself, that's the way you're going to say. You don't want to be sour forever. You're going to get amazing. You're going to live with your body together. It's just amazing. And I said, if a person meditates on that I'm a amazing person, then I'm entitled for miracles. I'm not a natural person here in this world. I'm a miraculous person. As a matter of fact, I'm here in foreign territory. I don't belong here. I belong in the world of eternity. I belong in eternity. And I said, if a person really, I wanted to give it the chizaget, if you really are not afraid of dying, if you're only afraid how will we die? Will we die properly? If I am continuously remembering that I'm going to live forever, and if dying is a temporary thing, and therefore I function accordingly with the Torah mitzvahs, you're not afraid of dying. Who is dying? Eventually you're going to get back. It's a temporary thing. If the fetus in the mother's womb afraid of being born, that's birth. Dying is birth. Literally birth. That was my 12 o'clock lecture. And I said this, if a person believes that who he is, he is entitled to miracles, because he's a miraculous person to begin with. A world person who believes he's a member, a citizen of this world, of this physical world, so he's subject to the nature of the world. So why should he get miracles? But if I'm not belonging here, I'm an eternal person, I belong. I come home, I take my mail, and in my mail was an envelope for Rabbi. I forgot his name already. An organization which is called Anenu. Anenu is a woman organization, so it's all over now. They share Tilim. Every woman has a pamphlet of a few, five, six Hitler's of Tilim, and they say Tilim for sick people. And they finish Tilim 1,000 times, you know, in Canada, as many people have, they finish Tilim. So. And I was, Sunday was Thursday, so I spoke here in Borough Park, was a big gathering
for to care for each other. So I was asked by him, I should mention, I should promote, the people should sign up in it, and you should say Tilim together for Chayil Yisrael. And the, in the envelope was also a pamphlet of a 5-6 kapitlach Tilim, like shows me an example. So fine, it's a nice library, it's a and put it down on the table. Around 7 o'clock, neighbors of mine, my neighbor's daughter, 10, 11 year old daughter, around me, says, Mrs. Stauber home. No, she wasn't home. So what's the matter? It's urgent. It was Tuesday. A man in our block, Nebuchad, passed away the farm the Thursday. 2 days later, was struggling with Chaim Lomovitz, so his mom, Shaminya, was called in. And my mother told her, Mrs. Stauber should say Tilim. It's a terrible day, she should say Tilim. I said, okay. She's not home, she's going to come, I'm going to tell her. So the girl leaves. Okay, my wife is not home, so you say Tilim. It's a danger. It's a crucial the moment, and so he's fighting with the Malach HaMavis. So I said this, I took this pamphlet Tilim, which was just in, and I said Tilim. He said the six. Now, to me, to see me, I'm a pretty busy man, 7 o'clock in the afternoon, saying Tilim, you know, you need a miracle for that. I should say Tilim. And I said Tilim, and there was a Mishabedach Lachoyim, and I gave a dollar to Dr. Rishon Balanes, and she gave me the name of this person, and then I said Tilim. While I was saying exactly what I was saying to him, a few blocks away, my grandson was laying on the lawn playing in a suburban truck, pulled up the driver, was impatient, a wild driver, went on the lawn and went right over my grandchild, 2.5-year-old grandchild. Wild, from side to side, from side to side, went over to them. And the driver saw it, and there was a whole bunch of people who witnessed it. It's a miracle by himself. Hashem set up. There was a setup that a bunch of people, neighbors, saw that. I mean, I had mentioned the two in Galada became speechless. They became almost 2 days. Mom is sick. He was in a truck going over the child. And the child was crying. And the driver jumps out of the truck, picks up the child, runs into the house to my daughter, to my son-in-law. I just ran over the child, and they called. And that's all of us called. So it was called surveillance, and the radio just said that we have a situation, a truck ran over a 2.5-year-old child through the belly, through the whole sort of thing. So, and it was in the toilet ambulance, so the trauma doctor, for now, says, then you take a helicopter to Columbia Hospital. And the doctor says, but the baby's crying, you heard the baby crying in the ambulance, the baby's crying. He says, yes. Said, come on. He wasn't run over by a truck. The baby's crying. The truck runs over, the baby doesn't cry. The guy was knocked over. So finally we brought him into Nayak Hospital. It was a Pakistani doctor. Matter of fact, I have the I just texted it to somebody the document from the hospital. And he takes the child, put it, I was sure the truck didn't go through because Vader's fully crying, fully consciously crying. He lays down the child, and it was the tire marks from side to side, the tire marks. There was hardly any bruises, except there was enough marks to be absolutely sure and convinced that the truck went through. You couldn't deny it. And the doctor a little became speechless. The doctor just pointed, God, it's a miracle, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And the nurses, everything came together, and they looked at that, not inside, not internally, not externally. After was a few little bruises, and actually nothing more than the tire marks from side to side. And it was an open vehicle. So the pediatrician, my daughter's pediatrician, is Shemera Shabbos, the doctor, woman. And she came down and she said, see, after the child should be overnight, there's an observation. And the Goyish doctor said, hey, don't you see, it's a miracle, it's God's child, what do you want? And a black nurse said, this child is going to be a big man. God doesn't do such a thing for nothing. Now, the whole hospital was up with it. Of course, next day the child came home, and nothing. The Shabbos, the child was bad. He says, Amram, what's going on? He says, I'm going to get rid of my mouth. I really don't know what to make out of it till today. It was a humorous joke. Because sometimes when a tragedy happens, there's a car accident and people get hurt, and a child came up unscratched. An airplane crashes, many people died, and one person came up uncrashed. So Hashem made a miracle to save a person from a situation. This was not, here Hashem set up a situation to show something. It wasn't a tragedy. It's like, this is called Kriya Siyamsa. Kriya Siyamsa was a stage. Hashem set up a system. He made people to go through the Yam. They didn't have to go through. They never even went through, just in and out, the same side, just to show a miracle. That's exactly what Hashem did. What was it? What was, because while I was saying Tilim, here came out the point. said, while I was saying tilling for that person, that please Hashem, don't let the Malach HaMoros take away his neshama, I was not aware that the Malach HaMoros is taking away, wants to take away the neshama of my child. And this is pshat. I'm his father, Bat Chaveh, the one who prays for somebody else. But he actually needs that. Who nered tefillah? He's getting answered first. What's the pshat? Does he know that he needs it? Then you're not allowed to daven for somebody else. You have to daven for yourself. You can't daven for somebody else if you need it. And if you chochem that you know it's a trick, if you don't feel that you're going to get it, then you're still not davening for you. You're davening for yourself. It must be when you daven for somebody else and you're not aware that you need the same thing, you must be answered. Why? Says the Meral, not because of chus of tefillah, because tefillah is not always you see the answer. Tefillah is always answered, but not always you see it. It's chus of chesed. Because if you are mispala to somebody else, you're doing chesed to somebody else, and chesed pays back with chesed. Chesed, you get back even what you don't deserve. Sometimes tefillah you don't deserve to be answered to see the result. But the result of chesed, chesed produces chesed, says the Meral. So if I'm mispala about chaveri, if somebody done for somebody else, and if he does not know that he really needs the same thing, so he's not davening for himself. Who nanatfili must be answered. Why? Because you were caring for somebody else, Hashem must care for you. That's exactly what happened there. Now what was the miracles? Hashem set up too many miracles. The stage was set up as follows. First of all, when that happened, many people saw it. So it couldn't be denied because people didn't believe that this story got spread by the Tzolot. But people said, nah, come on, stories, it cannot be. But people thought, I spoke Shal Shudas in a shul, there's his father's koiler there, I spoke there, and I brought up the whole story, and there was a Ingema, Meir Ben Shabbat, says, I was there, I was sick for 2 days, but I was afraid to get close to the house, I was sure there's going to be a Levi again. I was sick for 2 days, I thought with my eyes, there was other Ingema, and became speechless, he just couldn't bring the words out of his mouth, he just little. So that was the first mess. The second mess, that I was saying to him, I was saying till 7 o'clock in the afternoon for what? That Hashem should not allow to take away this neshama. And I was needing it exactly the same time I was needing for that. Now, to say the end of the story, why wasn't then, if I still can make it. But one thing is yes, maybe the fact that I spoke 12 o'clock saying that the person who believes in Chesamesim, who lives to Chesamesim, deserves miracles. I'm coming back to that. Yes, you deserve miracles. I think 10 years after the Schlesinger family, having a twin is a miracle. And we see today miracles. Now, anyone who walks today in the streets of Yerushalayim, my children are there, is not a miracle.
Yes.
It is a miracle. So why don't you deserve miracles? We just because it continues miracles, we live the only miraculous people to. I'm speaking it to you, it's not a miracle, who am I? And I call for the effort, we Holocaust survivors. We are all living in a bunch of miracles. So why can't we accept this? If Hashem gives it, fine. If he doesn't give it, in other words, we shall not be surprised if Hashem gives it because you're expecting it. But you shouldn't be disappointed if he doesn't give it because we are a mission, this is our mission.
Samchales means
that you let yourself in a situation where you're not allowed to because you're relying on it. You don't do that. But asking Hashem, you're called. That's the real mitzvah of Amunah in Betochen, means a doctor could say anything what they want. Now, there's a famous story. I think I told you the story once. But it's a famous story that. The Vatichever, a woman came, was a smart woman. Don't try to do it because you don't have Vatichevers around today. So don't try to imitate that. But the woman came once to the Vatichever and he says, was crying, let me give me a Baruch Hashem child. She was in the 60s. So the Vatichever asked him, how old is my kid? Let's say we're 25. I'm 25. So the Vatichever gave a Baruch. The Vatichever gave a Baruch, it comes true. And she had a child. So there came a tumor in him, that the Baditchever was Mishana Masaparashis, he made a 60-year-old woman having a child, 60s. So it became a whole tumor that he was Matriach HaSakodesh Baruch Hu, Haka, he went against, in fact he was fooled, it's his problem, but he had no right to do this, what he did should be more responsible. And it came out a decree that he lost his only son of Haba. So but you should know about it, you heard about it, he became so happy, he was very, very happy. So that's why he's so happy. He says, now I'm going to serve Hashem, not myself. Till now, think of it, I'm getting going to have a son, I only mind not getting any out, so now at least I'm going to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shema, the Shema, I'm going to be myself. what we do see, it used to happen, it does happen, but does not mean that you expect really to happen. It's good enough that to keep the pain going. In other words, it's good enough the hope to keep the pain, because nothing is as valuable as the pain is still there, the slight hope is still there, and if you continue down. Because davening is the most accomplished thing. Once you just give up, you stop davening about it, your production of sarcopenia even stops. It's a shame. And therefore, in my opinion, an 8-year-old woman even doesn't expect a physical child. But you know, Hashem, as long as I'm sensitive to the pain and I'm davening for that, that's a sarcopenia that still is being answered. It's being answered. And that's the truth. It's an automated system. You know, I always show, you know what this is? This is my car key. There's a button. If I push this button, my car starts up 100 feet away, 200 feet away. Do you see any connection? See, everything is remote control. You don't know what you're davening in your house where somebody else gets pregnant who would never expect to become pregnant. And it's your miracle. You're only going to see when Mashiach will come. Then it's going to be a lot of joy, a lot of simcha, a lot of happiness, because you're going to see every little thing, every little involvement in your area, how productive it was. Only if it is Hakli Amachal, and then we're going to see what we did. And yet to believe it, this is Amunas Yisrael, this is Bitochen, this is living B'tzimcha. Now you know your life is full, your life is accomplished, you're not wasting, you're not childless. It's a very important thing. You may not have a physical child, but you have thousands of millions of children of all kinds in the Shomers and physical children, feelers, which are done. This is your mission.
What do you do with yourself when you're in an upper mood?
Continue to chazer and to learn that, to write essays about it and to give chizuk to somebody else. And talk to yourself. Why shouldn't you have your own books, your own notebooks? Write yourself your own feelings, your own expressions. Write letters to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Write it. It's very...
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com